Hello and welcome back to This Week on Channel 9. I'm Dan Fernandez.
I'm Mark DeFalco.
And Mark, huge week. We got big products launching, man.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the past, if we had a release this big, people would throw parties. There'd be like balls dropping in New York, in like a Times Square in New York City. We're just going to talk about it here on This Week. But
What's this first story? Obviously, Windows 8.1, right?
Yeah, well, yesterday was the 18th, which if you reverse is 81. If you put a point in there, is 8.1.
Oh!
So Windows 8.1 released. Most important thing to know is you need to get it from the App Store, right?
Yes, it is a free download, which is super important, too. And is available. And really what it means for developers, you know, we can kind of jump to the next slide. You know, there's a number of new features and new different things. So improvements from like tile size, you get that full tile experience. Start button back.
Yes, it is. You can boot up
controls.
boot up to desktop mode. There's the all apps view. There's you can slide.
Improvements in performance and profiling.
Sorry, slide. I mean, you can snap multiple sizes, which means your apps can be responsive to multiple widths and dimensions and stuff like that.
Right. So the new minimum, I think, is 500. You can actually have multiple apps, and then you can say whether you want to be. I think it's 320 is the other size model as well. Very cool JavaScript profiling tools. New capabilities as well. So building USB or HID applications as well. Bluetooth improvements. So lots of stuff, and really it's a free download.
Yeah.
So if you're running 8.0, this is like a no-brainer download.
Right, yeah, I mean, it's in the store, so it kind of gives you the opportunity to get prepared, because it's going to take a little longer than a normal update to do. Normal, it's like regular Windows update. But go in there, set aside a little time, do the migration. It's pretty painless. I've done it on many devices through
I'm running 8.1 here.
Yeah, right here as well.
Cool. We're awesome. So Visual Studio 2013 overview.
Yeah, so I guess one of the first things is that the speed of updates. Clearly, we just had a Visual Studio 2012. We also had three updates on Visual Studio 2012. And now
quarterly updates, sure.
Yeah, and now 13 is coming out. Biggest thing, obviously, 8.1 app development support. There's also a bunch of cool stuff. If you're familiar with the productivity tool set, I think it's called the
Power Tools,
whatever it's called. There's a bunch of cool features that were kind of in experimental mode. Well, they're now, a bunch of them there are included, including Code Map, where your scroll bar kind of is a live view of all your code.
Right.
You can better navigate between errors and warnings.
The references, where you see the zero references, two references, you hover over.
Right. A lot of hover over peak stuff. So, you know, there's F12 or go to definition on a function. You can now hover over and it actually just show you in line on a little pop-up the definition of that function, so you can quickly glance at something without swapping between files.
And definitely check out this blog post has basically a screenshot tour.
Yes,
of a lot of the new
features, of all these things.
TFS, ALM improvements.
TFS has the same peak thing. You can like hover over a function and see who's made modifications to that function previously.
Isn't that awesome?
It's in some of the tools I've seen. It's called blame browsing.
Blame browsing.
Yeah, you can go and see who made his change last.
Blame storming.
Yeah, blame storming.
So how are we gonna do this?
So yeah, this blog has a like you said, good pictures of everything that's going on. Much better than listening to someone talk.
Yeah, spend 5 minutes. Make sure you know kind of what's new because there's so much stuff. And of course, speaking of that, just one lens across this is Scott Guthrie has a post just on ASP.NET and Entity Framework improvements. So ASP.NET, obviously having a number of improvements. One, they kind of brought in together, there's web forms, there's ASP.NET Web API, which is the new kid on the block, and ASP.NET MVC, and they wanted to be able to combine all these. So there's one project template, and it's called One ASP.NET, right? And you can turn on the features you want. So it's like, hey, I really like routing from MVC. You can use those in web forms, for example. So a number of big improvements around that, as well as from the code focus view, right? So you get, I think they have Knockout IntelliSense. Their new template is using Bootstrap. So that means that it actually will dynamically resize.
Yeah, it's kind of nuts from a standpoint of like a year ago, or well, actually it was more than that, we were packaging like our own Ajax libraries, our own this, our own that, to like, it's Modernizer, it's jQuery, it's Bootstrap, it's Knockout. It's all stuff the community's used to using. It's
fantastic. So huge stuff. Entity Framework obviously having a number of improvements, including having async await, being able to do things like set a couple of methods, and I think it's like action of T, so you can say like, hey, every key should use this pattern, and some of the other entity framework stuff as well, being able to actually have, or actually no, this is on model view controllers, being able to actually set attributes
right
for routes that we were just talking about before the show, which is very cool in terms of like, hey, I have a class, here's my controller, and then I can actually set routes just by setting an attribute.
Yeah, again, it's one of those things where normally you'd have to go out of context to like your routes config file and then view them all and try to search for it. And it just seems like everything's going through this workflow, improving the workflow of staying in situ, like where you want to be in the code you're changing, and be able to see the information you want, which is really nice.
Yeah, very cool stuff. So check out Scott's post for the full detail rundown on ASP.NET and Entity Framework.
We're just updating everything, apparently. So the third update for Windows Phone 8. So I know they're often called the GDRs, GDR2, GDR3. There's a couple main stories behind it that try to kind of contain there, and it's support for new devices, new capabilities for current users, and then overall quality. So bigger resolution screens are now supported for 5 and 6 inch touchscreens, 1080p displays on those. So
sweet.
It was the same thing as watching TV. Driving mode is a new one. The big thing I want to talk about, though, is the developer story around being able to get updates. So
yeah, and
previously,
I think this is our next story as well.
Yeah. So previously you had to basically just wait for these?
No, worse, you'd have to wait for your carrier.
That's what I meant.
To choose to have that GDR to be able to test on it. So, but hey, my customers, like maybe in Europe, they have this GDR, maybe, and this carrier, Verizon does this, AT&T does that for
right.
U.S. companies. And it was very difficult for developers. So now the idea is, and you do have to be registered in as a Windows Phone developer in the store, or use their online tool.
Yes.
And dev unlock your phone. And then you can go in and, I guess, download something that will let you update to different versions of the Windows Phone updates.
Right. So you can actually go and have, you know, maybe multiple devices set to different GDRs or different versions. You can test across them. You can, more importantly, get that update quicker than necessarily waiting for your carrier to give it to you. So you can start developing on that stuff and making sure those new features are supported in your apps.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah.
So, and obviously you can test your app and you know, these two posts also go through some of the more developer-centric features,
yeah,
too. So, NuGet.
NuGet. NuGet is a .NET framework release vehicle, is the title of this one, and it's pretty self-explanatory. You've seen a lot of things moving towards NuGet packages.
Look at all that Microsoft
pixels.
..
Yeah, so previously, you know, MVC came as a NuGet package and some other things, which really helped out if you're using, you know, WebMatrix or if you didn't want to install stuff on a machine you didn't have admin rights to as a dev. But now the .NET framework itself is updatable via NuGet, which they've done a couple updates to support kind of this new methodology, which is creating a separate Microsoft and .NET channel. I think they're called libraries. It's basically an RSS feed that comes straight from us. So everything in there is blessed by the Microsoft brand, basically. So it's all of our Entity Framework, like you talked about before.
Sure.
And the .NET Framework itself, all downloadable via there. And there's some little tips in there about portable libraries being consumable and some stuff around enterprise support for the new .NET Frameworks in the blog. But it's cool. We're going towards a single update method. I've been using NuGet for my package management for about a year, 2 years now, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So very cool stuff that it's not just, you know, open source packages, but even the .NET framework.
Right.
So asynchronous solution load performance improvements. So this is a classic, wow, Microsoft, fix this. But the idea here is you open up Visual Studio, and let's say you have, you know, it could be that you have a lot of solutions, or you have, say, like 5, and they're huge,
yeah,
right? So what this allows you to do is actually asynchronously load large solutions, right? So you will get to responsiveness, say like the SLN has one project by default and it was whatever page opens, that'll start opening while in the background it'll start doing stuff, so you're not just basically...
I'm not waiting for my unit tests to load or my deployment packages.
Exactly, you can at least be productive on something while you wait for everything to load. So I think developers will certainly appreciate this, and really this is a customer-driven feedback on, hey, you really need to improve the first-time load on Visual Studio performance.
Yeah, less progress bars, less waiting, always better.
Yeah, cool stuff, and glad they did those too.
So there have been some improvements done over the past two releases in Visual Studio around switching to a new version of the debugger, essentially. And
can we just talk about how awesome 64-bit add and continue is?
Yeah.
Can we just talk about? I'm sorry. You're on a 64-bit machine. You can't have fun with.
Former roommate of mine was on the profiler team, so not necessarily the debugger team, but that was I just blamed him for anything Visual Studio related. I was like, I want 64-bit add and continue. But one of those things about moving to the new platform was be able to do manage return values .NET 64-bit add and continue. Or async call stacks are
right.
really cool,
we actually
too.
Showed that in build on some of the challenges on, hey, you wouldn't actually see the difference. What you do want to do is see how it actually worked as opposed to...
Right, exactly. I mean, the whole point of it being async is there's not really a call stack anymore. So it kind of regenerating that is really cool. Anyway, as comes sometimes with building a kind of new version of something, there's a couple niche features that get missed. So in 2013, they switched over to the new managed debugger. There are a couple circumstances you're going to want to switch into managed compatibility mode.
Okay.
In this blog, they call out .NET languages other than C#, VB, and F# that provide their own expression evaluator. The biggest one of those being managed C++. Or if you want to enable edit continue for C++ projects with mixed mode debugging. So like I said, it's kind of a niche. Those are still pretty normal scenarios, but hopefully it won't affect too many people. But if you do, follow the steps in here to switch to managed compatibility mode, and you'll get a bunch of those features.
And that does turn off some features as well.
There are a few that still aren't enabled, yes. You want to look at that list while you're weighing out which kind of options you're going to be using, what kind of code you're writing.
Cool. So next story, and this is something I was tweeting about earlier this week, because I definitely think it's cool, because there was a lot of questions from the community on this the previous week. So the portable class library release, and obviously that helps you share code across .NET platforms. And with today's release, they're announcing a new standalone release of the PCL reference assemblies with the license that allows it to be used on any platform, including non-Microsoft ones. This enables developers even more flexibility to do great things with .NET.
So previously you're saying, we had... You write
against the PCLs. License restrictions.
You write PCLs, and you could write against phone and via XNA, like Xbox and Windows. And they're saying, does it matter what I write on?
Yes, and specifically, there's no term in the license that says it has to be a Microsoft platform. So if you're a developer and it's like, wow, PCL is great because I could reuse this, say, this core logic on, say, Xamarin, right? And whatever target, let's say Android,
right.
iOS, whatever.
Like Mono Game, I guess.
Yeah, right. So with anything, now your PCL libraries can go non-Microsoft platforms.
Awesome.
This was really a licensing restriction as well. Miguel blogged about this and how they're going to be using PCL and supporting PCL for Xamarin as well. So just a cool thing and good for developers that are building, have a bunch of investments in C# and are building across platforms.
Awesome. From big licensing issues to small features, but this is awesome.
This is awesome.
I really did. I got giddy about this. Paste JSON as classes. So
yes.
This is a feature in ASP.NET and WebTools 2012.2 release candidate. I thought we were going to get better with this naming.
Yes.
But what you can do is, just like in Word or Excel, you have a paste special. You can choose to paste just the values or formulas or whatever. Here, if you copy a segment of just regular JSON output and select paste as classes, it'll actually go and produce a C# or, in this example, C# class for you. It also does VB or any other .NET language.
Mm-hmm.
Under the hood, it's using Newton Soft's JSON.NET.
JSON.NET, exactly.
Which is an awesome library. And it has a couple examples in here of it supporting Unicode, supporting dates and times, which if you've worked with JSON and dates and times, you'll understand why that's cool. And then a bunch of examples of exactly what's happening under and what kind of the options you can set. But how many times have you gone to like write against an API and the first thing you do is let me go create all my models or let me go like to like some web service to do it?
Yeah, yeah. It's all baked in. And then you have to play around. Okay, so I want to deserialize this as JSON. How is it going to actually do it?
Right.
And this just really takes the hassle out of it.
Yep.
So very cool. So this is something called NewDoc. And the idea here is really going beyond the chum file and sandcast on some of those old things and tree views or so 1990s, if you will, and fast indexing and quick search tree. And the idea is you can have docs that can actually be packaged via NuGet, mm-hmm. right? So like, you know, your packaging, whether it's the XML docs or whatever, can actually be included in NuGet packages, so they go together, right? So hey, great, I had this great packaging system, but the documentation doesn't go with it.
Right.
The doc updates are here.
It's
this
like
is
go
here.
To this website
Things
to read
are out
the,
of date.
Yeah.
The whole works. So I do like it when people take a brand new look at like, hey, can we improve how we do developer documentation?
Absolutely.
And the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, almost always. I mean, I was just reading an article today that it was basically like just rehashing the same stuff we talked about for years. Like, do you want 90% of your code documented automatically or 10% of your code documented like for real? It's like we've had this argument over and over again. Like you're right, like a new fresh look at documentation, making sure it's included in your new sets of code is probably the most important thing, making sure it's updated.
Yeah So definitely cool stuff. And that brings us to our picks of
picks
the week.
Of the week.
So my pick here is the MSO OpenTech folks, and Ben Lauer did a presentation on this where they showed off Connect Common Bridge. And basically, the idea behind Common Bridge is that it allows you to connect open frameworks and Cinder libraries to Connect so that you can build, for the creative coders, the Rick Brazes of the world, they have a way to use the libraries they want, open frameworks and Cinder, and be able to, for example, use particle effects like, hey, find where the hand joint is and then do a little bit of an offset and then do particles. Like, I want circles that are random size and random location within here, and that will disappear every second. So you can look like, you know, you're Ken loading your fireball.
Yeah, that looks like the start of many of the Kinect games we have, being able to just augment your photo and video and everything with all these effects and throw fireballs or open doors and things like that.
Yeah, so for people that are using open frameworks and or Cinder, mm-hmm. this is just a great way to be able to now, I have this and now I can be able to match it with Kinect
nice.
Data. So, very cool stuff. And your pick of the week?
The USB missile launcher comes back. This is something that's been around for a while. I actually got mine off of a Woot 2 for Tuesday. So I lost one, which is good why I bought two. But this is Greg Duncan posted this in the Coding for Fun blogs about connecting it to Windows 8.1. So the cool thing about this and why this keeps coming back is because it doesn't use proprietary drivers. It describes itself to Windows as a human interface device.
Mm-hmm.
And in 8.1, we have some cool
RT
libraries.
Yeah, that we talked about earlier.
So this is goes about how you connect to it, which is pretty much just referencing windows.device.humaninterfacedevices. And more importantly, the driver's been ported to ARM. So on your Surface, on your laptop or desktop, now you have a mobile USB missile cannon.
Just needs wheels.
Pretty much.
We'll call Clint.
Yes.
Awesome. All right, well, Mark, thanks again for coming by, and we'll see you all next week.